So I'm sitting here with Dr. Christian Smith, who is a professor at Notre Dame and has been doing research on the spirituality of youth and young adults as part of the National Study of Youth and Religion. Can you tell me a little bit about that study?
Sure. We, in the early 2000s, we collected a sample of more than 3,000 teenagers aged 13 to 17 and surveyed and interviewed them and have been following them as they've been getting older, and resurveying and interviewing them. We've conducted three waves of data collection, and we're going to be doing a fourth wave, so that we're studying in depth their religious and spiritual lives and the rest of their lives as they go from being early and middle teenagers to emerging adults and into their mid and late 20s.
Okay, so your national study was more expansive than somebody's personal experience, obviously, or even like a regional study, because you didn't just survey Christian teens, you surveyed a national sampling.
That's right. We were tasked by the Lilly Endowment, who funded us, to provide a big picture, a national picture of what's going on in the lives of young people. And so our sample is all households with teenagers in them, and not just Sunday school rosters or people who were confirmed or people in the white pages. It's as far as I know, the biggest picture, nationally representative data set of young people, religious and not religious.
And based on those surveys, obviously all the details are in your books, Souls in Transition and...
Soul Searching was the book in 2005 about the teenagers, and Souls in Transition, 2008, about emerging adults.
And the fact that you were interviewing both high schoolers and then later when they were emerging adults, I think is really interesting, because then it's not just a short, shallow survey, but it's something that has a little bit more in-depth.
Yes, it's not what's called a cross-sectional survey. It's not just a one-time snapshot. It's following people over time as they grow up, so we can track developmental trajectories in their lives.
Yeah, it was both. It wasn't a cross-sectional survey, meaning just one snapshot and then stop. It was it's a panel study, which means longitudinally we're following people over time. So we're able to trace sort of developmental trajectories in their lives, how they change over the years. It also was a very long and therefore in-depth survey. The first wave survey was 82 minutes long on average, so we gathered tons of information about young people.
What was the precedence for this survey? Why did you want to start this project?
Well, back in 1999, actually, I started getting interested in studying children and teenagers, realizing, having my own children, how interesting it was to view American culture and society through the lens of how it treats children and teenagers. I knew that there was not a lot of good scholarly literature on the religious and spiritual lives of youth. A lot of people that study adolescents don't study their religious lives, and a lot of people that study religion don't study teenagers. So I knew there was a need for this, and the Lilly Endowment, I knew was interested in youth ministry and youth, and they were willing to fund this project, and it all just kind of came together in a great way. It's been great fun. And we started off with teenagers, but as we've we're growing old with them, and as they grow up, we're just following them, and so now we're studying emerging adults.
You first interviewed them, they were teenagers, and then when you interviewed them again, they were emerging adults.
In the first wave, they were 13 to 17 years old. We did a second wave 2 years later, so they were later teenagers, and in the third wave, they were all 18 to 23 years old, so early emerging adults.
And
we're continuing to track them, and... we're going to collect a fourth wave of data when they're in their mid to late 20s.
And you would qualify emerging adults as being aged 19 to 29?
The way most academics who study this talk about as emerging adults is 18 to 29, yeah. Okay. Well, emerging adulthood is a particular time in life when things become, most emerging adults have not really settled down into full adulthood, so they're still searching, they're kind of in limbo, they're still preparing for the future. A lot of changes going on in their life, and that has the consequence of making it difficult for them. Many of them are reluctant to commit to a church, to settle down into a church, to get responsibilities. Many of them are pulling away from the faith that they were raised in at least backing off somewhat from it. They're not rejecting it. They still would believe much of what they were taught, but they're doubting some of it and questioning it or not practicing it so much. And so the overall trend for emerging adults is a decline in religious belief and practice. That's if you look at them as a group. If you separate them out into different groups, some are maintaining as strong a faith as they ever had. Some are being not religious as much as they ever were. Some are declining in how religious they are, and some of them are increasing in how religious they are. There's actually different trajectories that people are on, emerging adults, as they exit the teenage years and go into their emerging adult years.
It seems like emerging adulthood is a stage that hasn't always been around. What are some of the contributing factors to that new life stage?
Yeah, part of the idea here is that in the latter half of the 20th century, this thing we're calling emerging adulthood has sort of grown into place, and it's a long, phase of the life course that's situated between the teenage years and the fully settled down adult years, which often happens in the 30s. That's a result of the expansion of higher education, parents supporting their young people more with money. People in their 20s, there's been a delaying of getting married and having children, a 5-year increase in the average age of first marriage among young people. Changes in the economy that require more flexibility and mobility. The introduction in the 60s of the pill and other contraceptives, and other cultural forces like postmodern ideology and mass consumer entertainment. All those converge together to make it possible and in some ways necessary for people not to settle down, get married, have kids soon after high school, but to delay that, to keep postponing becoming a full adult. And that creates this long phase in the life course when people are still sort of up in the air, in limbo, not committed to what they're going to be doing for the rest of their lives. And again, that doesn't encourage them to be serious and committed about their faith in general. Yeah, it has direct implications for their religious life. Again, there are emerging adults who are serious, committed, practicing in their faith, but a lot of the features of emerging adulthood, the transience, the change, the need to uproot, try something new, the putting off of getting married and having children, all of that has a tendency to keep people from settling into a serious, committed faith, and especially at a local church.
Do you find that most young adults are hostile to religion?
Most emerging adults are not hostile to religion. Most emerging adults have a sort of a benign, positive regard. They think religion's good for many people. Nobody has to be religious, but those that are, that's fine. And that most emerging adults think religion helps people to make good choices and to live moral lives, and they appreciate that. Only a minority, about 1 in 10, are actively hostile to, antagonistic or toward, or skeptical of religion.
That's interesting, because I often get like the feeling from baby boomers that, well, young adults must all like be hostile to religion. They don't want to be here. This isn't, you know, they don't like the institution. They don't like the church. But your studies show that that's not true.
Yeah. Baby boomers are different than emerging adults today. Baby boomers have a tendency to project onto everybody their own life experience, but not everyone's a baby boomer. So in their day, in the 60s and 70s, the experience of many baby boomers was one, at least supposedly, one of rebellion, anti-authoritarianism, protest against the government, nobody over 30, you could trust. All these sort of generation gap themes centered around rebellion. Well, that might have been, but young people today are not rebellious like baby boomers are. They're much more play society's game. They bought into the institutions and values and practices of mainstream culture. They want to be successful. They want to have nice families. And so it's a false projection from baby boomers onto young people today to think that they're really rebellious and hostile and antagonistic to religion. They're not. Most aren't.
Even in my experience talking with baby boomers, not only do they kind of project the rebellion of young adults against like institutionalized religion, but against them, themselves. They're like, I didn't want to hang out with any older people when I was their age, so they must not want to hang out with me. And that's totally the opposite of my experience with young adults. They want mentors. They want relationships with people who are in the baby boom age. But the baby boomers are so, like, assuming that they don't want that. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, that's true. So baby boomers, again, they keep projecting their own experience. And when they were younger, they would say, don't trust anyone over 30. Well, of course, they became over 30. And that was a bit of a crisis. And so they sort of worry that, well, people must not trust me. People must think I'm an old geezer. And so they're reluctant, because of their experience, not because of reality anymore, to make themselves vulnerable to build relationships, to teach and so on, young people, whereas in fact young people are much more understand, they want to learn stuff, they like relationships, many of them like diversity, they're happy to get to know older people, they don't mind being mentored with things. So it's really a misreading of emerging adults by older people. And even teenagers, it's a misreading of teenagers. There is a minority of very highly religious teenagers who remain very highly religious as emerging adults. There are also teenagers who were somewhat less religious who tend to become much less religious as emerging adults. So again, different young people are on different trajectories from each other, but it's not the case that no emerging adults are religious and serious and committed. Some really are, a significant number. But there's another significant number who are decline. They sort of pull away, become disinterested in it.
What are the greatest influencing factors on the spirituality of emerging adults?
Yeah, so we studied this in great depth, and it turns out if you look at what most predicts the kind of the religious faith and practice of emerging adults are factors back in their teenage years, the most important being how committed they were and how strong their beliefs were and how much they practiced their religious faith as teenagers. That's the biggest predictor of them being committed and practicing as emerging adults. The second is having had parents who were strong believers, practicing, committed models and teachers for teenagers. Those are the ones who are most likely to be religiously involved still as emerging adults. And the third is having had other non-parental adults in their congregation, like youth ministers or mentors or friends who they had relationships with, who helped them, who supported them, who they liked being around. So significant relationships in church during the teenage years is the most important stuff.
Now, that was one of the things that hit me the most when I was reading your book, Souls in Transition, was the influence that parents had on the faith of emerging adults. And that when they were teenagers and they said, go away, mom and dad, too many parents actually listened when they really didn't need to.
Yeah. In some ways, adults don't take teenagers seriously enough, and in some ways they take them too seriously. So when teenagers say, go away, I hate you, I don't want anything to do with you, they're not really telling the truth. They need adults, they need parents, usually they love them, they want to have good relationships with them. And the adults need to have more maturity and self-confidence to say, no, well, I'm actually your parent, and here's how we're going to live. At the same time as listening to them more closely in other ways, you know, so it's tricky. But no, the fact is, in our project, the recurrently most important factor that's come out over and over again is the power of the socializing and modeling and teaching role of parents for their kids. The best predictor of how kids are going to turn out in general is what their parents look like and how their parents live. And the parents may not realize that or believe it. The teenagers often don't realize that or believe it, but that's really how it works. People turn out to be an awful lot like the way their parents were when it comes to religion and matters of faith. Very few teenagers are going to be more religious than their parents were. And many teenagers will live up to how religious their parents were. So as incredible as that sounds in a culture that says parents don't really matter, it's really the media, it's really peers, that's not true. The parents are hugely important.
Has it always been that way? Is this a new trend?
I suspect it is. Again, the baby boomers may have been a kind of a blip where they were really reacting against their parents. Although I don't want to assume that. My guess is that a lot of baby boomers have turned out, lo and behold, to look an awful lot like their parents.
But don't tell them that.
Yeah, don't tell them that. I mean, but the fact is, you know, when you get in your 30s, oftentimes, and you get married, it becomes increasingly clear just how very much like your parents you are. And if you can't see that, then usually your spouse will point it out. And so whether people like it or not, and for better or worse, you know, first of all, people are the genetic inheritors of their parents, and then they are the inheritors of 10 or 20 years of socialization by their parents. So even if they don't like things about their parents, they are still powerfully shaped by their parents' values, commitments, definitions of what's important, beliefs, and so on. It's not guaranteed. It's not deterministic, but it's very strong association.
So with all those factors in mind, can you describe the spiritual state of emerging adults?
It's hard to describe them with generalizations because there's a lot of diversity. There are different kinds of emerging adults. But if you talk about the largest group, sort of the central tendency in the middle, it's sort of a general appreciation for religion is a good thing. Society needs it because it helps people to be moral. But for the most part, they're not very interested in religion. It's not much of a priority. It's not something they think or talk very much about. It's something that they associate with being a really settled down, real adult in the future. So some of them may think, when I get older, I'll figure that out. But that's not relevant for me now. That's the dominant. Now, there are also minority voices, some of which are sort of like religion, you know, Jesus is the man, religion is the coolest thing, it's the most important thing in their life, this is who they are. And then there are other minority voices who are sort of like, religion is the stupidest thing, I can't believe anyone believes this, I'm an atheist. So there are other people that have no religious background who are kind of spiritually open. They're sort of like, I don't know what I believe, but maybe there's probably more going on spiritually than I was raised to think. So there's a lot of different kinds of emerging adults, but the majority is sort of indifferent and otherwise preoccupied.
Which is hopeful because only 10% said that they were hostile.
Yeah, most are not hostile. There's more emerging adults who are spiritually open, who you can have an interesting conversation with, who would like to learn something. There are more of them than there are those who are hostile and closed and antagonistic. And there are more emerging adults who are seriously committed to their faith than there are atheists.
Which is different than what you hear a lot of times. You hear that all young adults are not in church. Yes. They all are not Christians.
It's different from what you hear. Some of that comes from poor studies. Some of that comes from people who have their panties in a bunch because they're all full of alarm and think everything's going to end tomorrow. Some of it comes from journalists who have no evidence. They just have a story they want to tell with no data. And they just say what they think is true based on their own experience or perceptions. And so, you know, as a social scientist, my view is people need to be really careful about the information they assimilate to make sure it's reliable, it's sound, because there's a lot of junk information floating around. But otherwise, a lot of what emerging adulthood is about is sort of postponing dealing with those big picture questions. You get to that in the future. For now, you have fun, you develop your career, you try a lot of different things, have different relationships before you settle down, so you're a wild oats.
But the intention is, in their mind, I will settle down at some point.
Yeah, most want to get married. Most want to raise a good family. They may be the wildest partiers now, sleeping around with people they don't even know their names. But someday, they want to have a serious, committed relationship and be a good mom and dad. And they think that what happens in their 20s will stay in their 20s. They can lock that door and move on to a new phase of life. It's really naive. Life doesn't work that way. But that's the assumption they can do that.
Thank you so much. This has been so interesting. And I'll be praying that the church listens to the work that you've done and can figure out what to do.
Yeah. And if people are interested in this, not to be, you know, shamelessly self-promoting, but this has all been written up in books that,
yeah.
This and a lot more is in books that are laying this stuff out. So emerging adults who want to understand more about their lives and how they fit into the bigger picture, you know, I mean, they can read Souls in Transition and get a lot more.
I've been talking with Dr. Christian Smith, author of Souls in Transition and Soul Searching. Thank you.
You're welcome.